Can you please read the next time certain item, item 70?
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street improvements from Northwest 9th Avenue to Northwest 19th Avenue in the Northwest Front Avenue NATO Parkway Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is an exciting local improvement district project that has lots of support, and we are leveraging our existing pavement preservation funding so that $1 of pavement funding becomes $1.74. The additional $1.1 million in LID funds provide greater assurance that we can address the pavement rehabilitation needs while also adding three partial traffic signal rebuilds and ensuring that curb ramps are ADA compliant for persons with physical disabilities. With that, I'll turn it over to Andrew Abbey, our LID administrator.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Saltzman. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and council members. Joining me today is Julia Kuhn from Kittleson and Associates.
Good morning.
Just wanted to run through our presentation here. So there is a new development underway called the Field Office on Northwest Front Avenue, and this is an aerial photo. You can see it's a little bit to the north of the Fremont Bridge. This is a map of the area proposed for improvement from Northwest 9th Avenue to north of Northwest 19th Avenue. What those numbers that you see along all those different pavement segments are the what we call the PCI scores, or the pavement condition index scores. I want to emphasize that we're not using any of our Fix Our Streets funding that came from the voters with the gas tax for this project, but this project nonetheless will make a big dent in our backlog of arterial pavement in poor condition. So you can see that the pavement scores there, we rank everything in the city on a 0 to 100 scale, a 0 being an unpaved street and a 100 being a street that was paved yesterday. We have pavement scores along this important arterial as low as 21, and the goal of this project is to bring those pavement scores up to 100 when the project is complete. There also is a certain amount of risk financially and when you open up the road in terms of what you find. And so the contingency that we've built in here is that we have budgeted for a contingency in this project, but we also are providing the city engineer with the option of dropping the very north end of the project 760 feet out of the total length of the project, which is 3,702 feet. We fully expect to be able to build the entire length of the project, but I just wanted to be transparent with council that when you are working with these roads that are very old, you sometimes find things in the field that you didn't anticipate. And this is an example of what we're looking at. This is a manhole that kind of sticks up out of the pavement on Front Avenue. So if you run marathons, when you come down here in the summer or the fall, you'd want to make sure not to trip on that manhole. So that manhole, when this project is complete, will be at flush grade with the pavement. Here's an example of bus service. Line number 16 operates on this street. You can see a pretty poor trench patch in that pavement. And we have new pavement restoration standards with development, so we fully expect that once this road is reconstructed, that we won't see recurrences like that in the future. This is an example of depressions in the pavement on Front Avenue. You can see the standing water there on the street. So when we rebuild the street will drain properly to the curbs on either side of the street. And then here is a bicyclist whom I took a picture of about 2 weeks ago. You can see there's a lot of cracks in the pavement, potholes, et cetera. So we want this to be an attractive environment for cyclists. This is the new development that's planned along Northwest Front Avenue. Here's another picture of it. You can see that that new development wraps around the infamous Dockside Restaurant, which is has quite a place in Portland's history. And we expect there to be a very attractive streetscape when it's all done. You're going to hear from the developer here in a moment, but we are looking to add another bike town location here. Fundamentally, the problem that we have here is that we have a missing gap in bike lanes between Northwest 9th Avenue and this development. And so the developer was willing to come to the table with $1.1 million in LID funds, which will be eligible for STC credits as a way to fill that gap. So the development will be very bike friendly, but the goal here was to fill that gap in the bike lane so people could actually ride all the way to the development. So here's a recap of the financials on it. I should also add, just to wrap up, that in addition to the $1.1 million for the LID, field office is also providing us $700,000 in additional resources for sidewalk infill on the west side of Front Avenue. So that the total contribution by the developer is almost $2 million, and we're very pleased to be able to do this partnership. I guess in conclusion, I just wanted to say that we thought it made a lot of sense to partner with the developer because we thought it wouldn't make sense to put a striping job down on the bad pavement that you just saw. You don't want to do striping on top of bad pavement. And then conversely, we didn't want to be in a position of using our pavement preservation fund to redo the pavement, but not also take care of the curb ramps and the striping and the traffic signals and some of the other things that we need to do. So we just thought it made sense to leverage the funds and have a more comprehensive project. And Julie and I are here to answer any questions you might have. Julie, anything you want to add?
Yeah, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners, thank you for your time this morning. So I'm the traffic engineer for the field office, and when we started talking about this project initially, recognizing the importance of people being able to get to not only the field office but also the residential areas that are around here safely on their bikes, on foot, and transit, and we noticed right away a missing link between 9th, where the bike lanes end now, and the property itself. And so we want to thank, number one, the city staff, PBOT staff, for working with us, but we were able to really take advantage of a nice public-private partnership opportunity to extend those bike lanes to the north. And as Andrew highlighted, the pavement condition, I know Mayor Wheeler, you're a runner, and probably have run along here. It's pretty abysmal for folks along here for trying to cycle safely and really improve the comfort and convenience. So I think it represents a really exciting opportunity for us to leverage everyone's dollars to really improve the safety and help work towards the Vision Zero goals of the city. So Andrew and I are happy to answer any questions you might have, but we're really looking forward to watching this project come to fruition.
Council questions, comments?
And we have a few folks signed up to testify.
You say the developer's here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to come up.
Jonathan Ledesma, and he's signed up to testify.
Do you want to come on up? And if you could just state your name again for the record, we'd appreciate it.
Jonathan Ledesma. So good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
I have a little testimony I'm going to read. So I'm Jonathan Ledesma with Project, a real estate developer of Field Office, which consists of two mixed-use office buildings totaling 300,000 square feet within a campus-like setting at Northwest 17th and Front Avenue in our city's growing Frontside district. So in our developments, we strive to develop creative solutions in response to market demand, including a temporary homeless shelter in one of our downtown buildings. At Field Office, we are bringing together landscape and workspace to create a different type of workplace, one that does not hermetically seal us from the outdoors. So to this end, Field Office dissolves the architectural boundaries that traditionally exist between the inside and outside and celebrates the natural environment, which is one of the main reasons many of us choose to live in Oregon. We believe that Field Office will become an anchor in the district as the neighborhood develops and grows, much in the same way the brewery blocks have become a strong center in the Pearl District. So with this in mind, Field Office will cater to the city's bike commuter. A commuter lounge featuring bike storage for over 200 bikes, a bike repair bar, locker rooms, showers, and even a traffic monitor apparatus, transit tracker, thanks, will be the first stop for cyclists arriving at Field Office with a roll-in, roll-out entry into the building. We will also be installing a bike town station, as Andrew had mentioned, along Front Avenue that will be used by not only the tenants of Field Office, but the many residents across the street, in addition to the other offices and restaurants and all kinds of things going on in the neighborhood. So approval of the LID, which I strongly support, and the subsequent construction of the road diet will amplify our bike-centric efforts at Field Office and will create a safe thoroughfare for cyclists along the NATO Parkway Front Avenue corridor, thereby continuing the city's efforts to facilitate safe bike traffic and also supporting PBOT's Vision Zero campaign. Thank you.
I have a couple questions.
Yes, please.
The Dockside is one of my favorite restaurants. Are you preserving it because you did not acquire the site, or and therefore they're just remaining, or did you build it into your development?
So two things. When we acquired the site, it was made known to us that that the former owners had tried to acquire the dockside, and quite honestly, we didn't bother wanting to acquire it. We think that elements of the past, that our institutions are important in our developments, and we reached out to them, and we have a great relationship with them, and in doing so, incorporated our design around them, and so it may look like they don't have much space behind them, but they actually have quite a bit of buffer around the development in order to accommodate, you know, just access and flow.
So on the weekends, like for brunch, there's a lot of motorcycles, sports cars,
yep.
And other vehicles there.
Right.
Where will customers be parking if they drive a long distance to get there?
So if they do drive there, they can park on the on-street parking that we're providing along our frontage. We've currently been in talks. We haven't come to a resolution on it for the employees to potentially park in our below-grade parking lot.
Okay. You said mixed use. So does that mean it'll be both office and residential?
No, office and retail. So.
And retail, so no residential.
No residential.
And in the office space, is any of this sort of qualify as creative space, and will any of it be affordable creative space?
Much of the spaces can be classified as creative space. As far as affordable creative space, I mean, that's a term that I don't use.
So it's a market rate.
It's a market rate, but at the same time, we made concessions or could potentially make concessions to tenants or businesses that would like to locate there, depending on what they do and if they're local, not local. You know, it all depends on who they are.
Further questions? Carl, is there anybody signed up for public testimony?
Yes, we have 8 people signed
okay,
up.
Okay, so we are now way behind schedule, and I have made a commitment that I intend to keep across the way, so I'm going to limit public testimony to 1 minute.
Oh, dear.
The first three, please come on up, are F.J. Maloney, Jay Dubai, and Jesse Sponberg.
Trumpy strikes, man.
Go with
morning.
Good morning. If you could state your name for the record, please.
Sure, F.J. Maloney.
Thank you, sir.
That's Jay Doobie, as in the joint.
You can say it right before your testimony. Sorry,
okay,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
My name is F.J. Maloney. I live in off of Skyline Boulevard, and I work over on close in east side over on the Burnside Rocket on across from Hippo Hardware there. And so I commute every day along Northeast 30th and down along Front Avenue through the industrial area and in on this road. I often try and do it by bicycle, and if anyone's ever tried to bicycle that area, it's one of the most miserable stretches of pavement and road in the inner Portland area. And I think this LID, I'm familiar with the LID process and how that works, and I think this would be a fantastic way of improving this area. If you've biked along there, there's no room for bicyclists. There's a curb there, so you're hugged up against the curb. There's abandoned railroad tracks that are at a strange angle that'll catch your tire if you're not careful. There's many potholes, widened cracks. So to improve this area would also provide a great link between the recently improved area between Linton. They've improved that stretch of Highway 30 and what's been done in the downtown corridor area. To continue to bring that together would just be a fantastic way. I highly support this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. I think it's just too much money. And looking at the number crunches, it just doesn't make sense. And again, it just seems to be going toward the one demographic of people, i.e. the richer people, and helping spread out kind of the Pearl area. And though I like the people that have the money that are trying to be all green and stuff, I really don't think it's there's so many better things we'd be doing with the money, guys.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, guys, Jesse Sponberg. I think it's really telling that the protesters' voices are being silenced, but the big moneyed interests are going to get all the time that they want to talk. This is also really telling of the way that your 4 years are going to turn out with suppression from the real people, and the moneyed interests will once again take a seat. It's nothing new. We thought that you were going to bring something different, Ted, but business as usual at City Hall is really sad. So I want to tell you how many people die on Division Street where I live. I want to tell you about Vision Zero, where we're supposed to have no deaths, okay? There are people literally dying on Division Street on almost a weekly basis, right? But let's dump that money to make this monstrosity happen in Portland so that this guy who lives on Skyline can ride his bicycle easier. Meanwhile, people will be getting swept to make room for this. People will be getting their stuff stolen and displaced again to make room for this. And this, there's no housing being built here. So you're going to take that money that should be spent on the east side and just continue reinforcing the status quo as usual. Thanks a lot, Ted.
Thank you.
The next three are Star Stoffler, Lori Grasso, and Mimi German.
Enjoy your meal.
Go with Willie Myers.
I'd like to ask a question of Commissioner Saltzman. It might be helpful to the people here are here today to understand where these funds are coming from, what kinds of projects the funds could be spent on, and how we prioritize the projects we move forward with.
Okay, you want to do that after this testimony?
Up to you.
I bring Andrew Abbey up.
Why don't we finish the public testimony?
Okay, I just thought
question.
It would be helpful because I think there's a lot of confusion.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. This is the time for the people at the microphone to have their minute. Go ahead. Thank you.
I'm concerned personally about this project. I can tell you probably 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, I don't know how many hundreds of people are out on the streets of Portland right now, houseless, all better things to spend money on than fixing cracks in sidewalks or making more room for more bike lanes for people to ride their bikes when there's people who don't even have a blanket. It just seems it's callous. And I'm ashamed right now that this is the representatives of my city, that is a more pressing issue and how to spend that money on those projects and have another gentrifying developer come in into my community that my father and grandfather built with their hands and callously talk about bike lanes and street cracks when there's a baby dead. So shame on you.
Thank you. You can state your name for the record, please.
My name is Willie Myers. I'm the Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbia Pacific Building and Construction Trades. I'd like to start off by saying that the field office is actually a pension-funded project by the NEBF, which is the National Electrical Workers Benefit Fund, to allow and create accessibility to projects like this. It will help develop more and create more projects to create family wage jobs. This project alone will support 600 to 1,000 union construction jobs. So I've made a 35-year career out of temporary jobs. Thank you, sir. So the largest...
Folks, let's let him have his moment at the microphone.
This will also help us with workforce diversity. The largest percentage of apprentices trained in the state are trained through union programs, and the largest number and percent of diverse apprentices are in union programs. By supporting the accessibility to this project, we are supporting a project that promotes diversity in workforce, and we urge you to support it. Thank you, sir.
My name is Mimi German, and I urge you not to support this. My concern about the development and LID, L-I-D, is that this money is used for gentrification, and with gentrification, we get a bike-friendly project, but it's homeless unfriendly. It's so nice that the developer gives money for upgrades, but we need to understand that this is a danger to people who are currently living on the street. Where are they supposed to go? Until you have houses for the houseless, I object to the sprucing up of the street for bikers and for others. What exactly is the homeless shelter the developer was referring to? Can addicts come in? Can the mentally ill live there? Can animals be with them? Can they bring all their belongings? Can they do as they please, as the rest of us can in the city? or so we thought. Will we stand by and allow gentrification, which displaces and encourages sweeps? This is the next issue I have with this project. Sorry I'm going so fast, but I have like a portion of a minute. I imagine that the police presence will be more prevalent if the people currently living on the streets and sidewalks remain. So what's going to happen with that? We're going to see more attacks by the police against these people. This is untenable. We object to this upgrade until these questions are answered. One way to solve this is to have the developer give $1 million.
Thank you. You cut the mic.
Villages and houses for the people that they are getting rid of from the street.
Could you call the next name, please?
The next two are Ryan Wood and Joe Walsh.
Are there two more or three?
Just the two. Those are the last two.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Ryan Wood and Joe Walsh.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Commissioners, thanks for giving me some time here. My name is Ryan Wood. I represent Lee Crutcher Lewis, the general contractor that's working with the developer in this new construction project. I'll be extremely brief. Just want to say that this job is a flagship project for us and is supporting upwards of 50 Lee Crutcher Lewis employees for over the course of 3 years, so it's really important to our business. The LID is important to our business, and just like Willie touched on earlier, 600 to 1,000 union employees are going to stay employed because of this project. Union labor is vital to not only our workforce, but it's vital to business growth and construction growth within the community of Portland. This project is going to house 200-plus new parking stalls, and it's not just going to be a benefit to field office, but it'll be a benefit to all new projects being developed in the area, like the new waterline apartments across the street. So it's not just a benefit to Jonathan and his group, but it's a benefit to everybody in the area. So that's all I had. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh.
Good morning.
I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the things you better consider, Mayor, is the people that you're looking at and having trouble with today think that there's a little bit of light left. That's why we're here. That's why we take our time. That's why we're interested in this stuff. Because there's a little bit of light in each one of you. What comes after us is worse. Because those people will see nothing. You screw around with 1 minute, we will close you down every week. That's what we do.
Threats aren't
good. We will fight
and
you tooth and nail.
Fair enough. You want
to
fight us.
We wanted to give you 6 months.
Fine.
We wanted to.
Listen, can you cut off the mic, please?
Cut off the mic, and you can go to hell. How's that, Mayor?
So, at this point, if there's any further conversations
you
amongst
can
the board, excuse me. If there's any, Commissioner Udaly had
can
Joe.
Go to hell.
Joe, I heard you the first time, Commissioner Udaly.
You don't
had
appreciate that.
I don't appreciate people interrupting
you
the public
don't
process.
Anything. You're a
thank
tyrant,
you, Commissioner.
Like
Commissioner
Trump.
Udaly, you had a question that was posed earlier to Commissioner Saltzman. Did we want to hear some testimony on that question?
So Andrew Abbey, there. So I'll take a stab at it, and Andrew can correct me if I'm wrong. But
I don't understand anything.
It's about a $2.6 million project, and about $1.1 million comes from our paving preservation fund, and the other $1.5 million is coming, in this case, to the improvement district or the property owners along the route. Did I get that right, Andrew?
Yes. And I think one thing that's really important to note...
And a paving preservation fund is, I assume, gas tax money? Or
I don't have the exact details of where that came from.
But it's not
from,
general fund money. It's not
had,
coming from the general fund that could otherwise be spent on other services.
It's housed in the Portland Bureau of Transportation, so it is not a discretionary funding item. If we did not spend that money on Needle Parkway, we would spend it on a street improvement in another area of the city. I guess the one thing that I would note is last year...
Money. System development charge
yes.
money?
Yes.
Okay.
Last year, City Council approved the Northeast 47th Avenue LID just really quickly. If we were to have to build budget for a total reconstruct of that street like we did on Northeast 47th Avenue, instead of looking at about a $2.6 million project, we'd be looking at $10 to $11 million. So fundamentally, the reason that we felt that the timing of this project was critical is to make sure that we can rescue the pavement before it further rehabilitates, and then we're back here in council talking about a $10 or $11 million project instead of a $2.6 million project. So we're just trying to save resources down the line so that more of our paving funds can go to other areas of the city.
Again, I'm going to ask people, please, not to interrupt. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Is there any further board? Excuse me. You're out of order, and you're slowing everything down. And I think you said you want me to meet with you across the street. I committed to that, but if you run out the clock, it ain't going to happen, right? So let's try and get the meeting going. Let's try and get the meeting done. Commissioner Udaly, did you have a further question?
So this may be an exercise in futility if people won't actually allow us to conduct the business of the people and have this conversation. But I share some of the concerns with how we set our priorities. I wanted to hopefully clarify for the people who are here today that we don't have the choice of taking money out of PBOT and putting it into housing services or Home for Everyone. This is money that will remain in PBOT, and we need to spend it wisely. So the other concern I have is how we choose the areas that we're improving and what kind of equity we're seeing across the whole city. I'm not necessarily saying I oppose this particular project. I think it's valid for community members to ask, where are the other, what was that, kind of degree of, yes, the poor condition areas. I understand choosing this area because we are able to leverage the developer money and therefore save 75 cents on a dollar. That's a smart decision. Is it the absolute priority in the city? I don't know. So if you can speak to those issues, I think it would be helpful.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think you recapped it very well in terms of this not being discretionary across all the bureaus in the city as a whole. When this money was budgeted, Natal Parkway was among the streets that we were looking at. I candidly can't tell you what the other ones were, but there were the short list of two or three major rehabilitation streets, and this was one of those that was identified as part of our budgeting process. And we specifically, pardon?
What were the other two?
I don't know what the other two were. I'm sorry. And then I should also mention we have Fix Our Streets funding, which has been heavily targeted, for example, to East Portland. So this is complementary in the sense that we'll use it for Natal Parkway, but we're trying to free up the Fix Our Streets funding for underserved areas, East Portland, other areas of the city. So
we'll get you the names, all of us, the names of the other two streets that are subject to this pavement preservation fund.
Yes. Okay. And this, yes.
Further questions?
I just want to make a comment, and I hope you take it in the spirit it's intended. I'm not meaning to call you out, but I do think when we're in the midst of a housing emergency and we have thousands of people on the street, talking about making the street safer for people running marathons is going to incite the kind of response we saw here today.
Absolutely.
So I thank you for including accessibility improvements in that area. That is a issue near and dear to my heart. And, don't get me started. thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you. Are there any further board comments or questions? Carla, could you call the roll, please?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for your clarifying questions. And we will continue to work on equity across the city. This is an opportunity to leverage a large amount of money from the developments happening right now. And as Andrew Abbey said, there's other funding that is being allocated preferentially and on lists. So that the city doesn't just decide first thing in the morning, Commissioner Saltzman doesn't just say, I think I'll do NATO this week. There's a list of priorities, and they're weighed on. They have to be weighed since they're system development charges. They are required to have those decisions made in an objective manner. So I very much appreciate this partnership, and I vote aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Andrew. Aye.
Udaly.
Oh, that was an aye. Okay, sorry. Thanks for the presentation. I feel relatively satisfied knowing this was one of the top three areas, and the fact that we're leveraging almost half of the, well, 75% of the money, I guess, through private investors. But I am going to continue to raise these issues and push for equity across the city. Aye.
Wheeler.
I think Commissioner Udaly's made a great point, and I agree. And these should be done through a lens where we can see a clearer prioritization. What gets to the top of the list, what doesn't get to the top of the list, and why? And I think it would be helpful for me to have that clarity, and I think it would be helpful for the public as well to have some sense of what's the decision, how are decisions made. So I would appreciate clarity on that as well. Aye.
Thank you.
Carla, could